Good morning. It is good to see you all here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You should know this scripture by heart, and I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, if you're able to stand. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for this passage of Scripture. God, today, Lord, let us lean on You and trust You for everything in our lives and even within our churches. And Lord God, today, as I preach this message, Father, let us hear from You through Your Holy Spirit, and don't let anything come from my own words or from my flesh. And God, build us up today. Strengthen us, Father. And we receive that strength from You because You give it to us freely. And all we have to do is reach out and take it. And Lord, again, if there's someone here who needs to make a decision, we pray, God, today they will do that. And we ask it all in the holy and mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. When I think about this message today, I think of a lot of people who say, what's going to happen in the days ahead? What's going to become of my life? What's next? What trials will I face? What hardships will I endure? What joys will I experience? So many people ask these questions. But when I go back and think of what the Bible says basically that we are to live for today. See, today holds enough. You're not supposed to worry about tomorrow. And you're not supposed to worry about the next day. You're not supposed to worry about the next week. We are to be living for today. But so many people want this, I would say they would like to have the gift to be able to see ahead. And there's a whole lot wrong with that. Because if we knew what lay ahead for us, there's a problem that it would cause. Anybody know what that problem would be if we knew everything that was going to happen in our life? We wouldn't trust God anymore. We wouldn't have a reason to communicate with Him and have fellowship and trust if we knew. Because, see, if we knew what was going to happen, then we would already know how to plan, and then prepare, and then how to face it, because we would know what we would need. Now, God tells us directly in His Scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What the Bible means by that is simply to have faith in Him. Okay? If God created the world and the planets and everything, if He created the earth, and if He put every living beast upon the earth, and if He created man in His own image, if He did all that in 6 days, and if God did it so immaculately, then don't you think He could take care of the needs of our life? That should cause us, if we would pause a moment and think about what the Lord has done and His creation. I was actually driving to church this morning, and it's funny how little thoughts get in your head. And I was thinking, because the radio was playing, and I thought, isn't it amazing that somebody created the technology that they can play something from a radio station, and it goes through those wires up the antenna, and it gets broadcast by satellite and repeaters, and it gets broadcast to your home radio, your car radio, and it goes through that antenna and goes right out and into this. And I, you know, to me, I know you, that may sound silly to you, but I'm thinking a little deeper here. I'm thinking, if God can create man to make such marvelous inventions like that, then God can surely take care of the needs of my life. If the Bible says for me to trust the Lord with all of my heart, then that's what I need to do. That scripture doesn't say to us, bring half of your heart to a bargaining table and say, okay, God, here's what I'm planning to do here. Now I know this much of my life and I'll have control of it. And then you can have this part, okay? Well, God doesn't do deals. God's not a gambler. God doesn't want half of you. God doesn't want a fourth of you. God wants all of you. Now, to back up this scripture with some testimony, my friend Justin Settle, who died Thursday, actually be a couple weeks ago, this Thursday be 2 weeks ago, Thursday morning passed away of aggressive stomach cancer, 46 years old. When I got the news on Thursday afternoon, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that he was gone. Yesterday, I went to his memorial service at Heron First Baptist Church, and there was approximately 900, I think they said 960 people in attendance. They put chairs all out in the foyers. They had overflow rooms in the fellowship hall. They had chairs out everywhere, and they said there wasn't a place you could get in there. And I'm listening to a preacher talk yesterday, and this preacher said, the day that Justin got the diagnosis from his doctor that he had this aggressive form of stomach cancer and there wasn't much of a chance of survival, this is what Justin did. Justin called his mom and dad, who live in Heron, and he told them the news. And then this is what Justin said. Mom and dad, I don't want you to worry, though, because he said, it's okay. He said, God didn't do this to me. But he said, either way, I'm going to be all right. Either way this turns out, I'm going to be all right. After that preacher spoke, Justin's wife, Bryn, got up there. And Bryn, I mean, she held it together so well. And Bryn said, Justin didn't want us to cry today. Justin wanted us to laugh. Justin wanted us to rejoice because he trusted God with his entire life and being. He trusted God with all of his heart. And she spoke and said that through the 400 and some odd days of the sickness that he dealt with, and I hope this doesn't make you squeamish, but I'm going to try to make this as easy as I can. She said he vomited a lot every day. A lot. She said he never complained. He never got angry. He never griped. He never fussed. He never said, why me? But she said that he would get sick to his stomach and this would happen daily. And then she said if they were in the middle of a conversation, he would excuse himself, come right back and say, now where were we? And she said, it's because Justin trusted God with all of his heart. And because of his life and his testimony, When Justin made Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior, Justin wanted everybody to know who Jesus was to him. And in the same way, that testimony should be alive inside of us. It should be in our hearts that we are telling people that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and He is Lord of Lords, and that He is in control of our very life, and that He walks with us through the thick, and He walks with us through the thin. He's there with us in the hard times. He's with us in the good times. Jesus is with us in the valley. Jesus is with us on the mountaintop. Why? Because the Bible says He loves us and He cares for us. And you know what? With that, I am okay with it. Friday night, pastor gets up there to bring the message. And he opens the Word. And they had, in this church, I mean, of course, they got those big video screens and all. But up on both big screens, it said the words, "Our mission has never changed." So he opened up with the Scripture. And he got into that. He said, I want you to read up here. It says, "Our mission has never changed." He said, Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus was buried. And on the third day, He rose from the dead. He ascended back into heaven. And He said, God is in control of everything that goes on in our lives. And He said, it's time for us Christian people to get serious about witnessing. So if we trust the Lord with all of our heart, then we should trust God with every aspect of our life. This preacher mentioned the fact that at 25 years old, he was given his first church, or he walked into his first church, him and his wife, and they didn't know anything. Really, there was a lot that had been hidden from them. He said when they got into that church, there was about 30, maybe minus some numbers of people. They were $350,000 in debt. He said there was about $13,000 in their bank account, and the bills were already past due. And he said once they found all of this out, he said he looked at his wife and said, what have we gotten ourselves into? What's going on here? So they went home and they prayed about it. So when they prayed, they said, okay, God, we're going to trust You with this. We're going to trust You with everything. We're believing You put us here. We know You're going to have something for us to do, so do it. And so they trusted God. They put their, what they would say, they put their nose to the grindstone. They never gave up. They let their faith be greater than their fear. And they started in that church. And they said the people didn't like them. The people didn't like each other. And I'm so glad it's not like that here. I'm so glad that people in this church love one another and love me. I hope you love me. But he said they started to serve. And one day he said, okay, God, here's what I want You to do, Lord. We've had a bunch of people leave this church because of the fighting and the conflict and all that that's going on. He said, Lord, I want You to send us people to this church that nobody else wants. He said, send us people that nobody else wants. He said it didn't take very long that some of the town's prostitutes, some of the marijuana dealers, some of the criminals, some of the poor, and he even said some people that were of the same sex relationships came into that church, and they didn't have nothing. And he said, people, the drunkards came, the gamblers came. And he said their church was getting filled up with people that the other churches didn't want. He said, some of them stunk so bad you couldn't sit next to them. But he said, this is what we did. We decided to love these people. And he said, we decided to trust God and to serve God. And he said, every week he would go into town and he would walk places and go into businesses and tell people who he was and who Jesus was. But anyway, the moral of this testimony is, after everything he did, he trusted God first with all of his heart, him and his wife in the church. And God started bringing people to the altar. People were getting saved. People were getting baptized. And they were making their payments. They were making money. The money was coming into the bank account little by little. And then the preacher prayed and said, Lord, now we need people that the other churches like. He said, Lord, we need some financial stability, but we trust you for it. And then other people started coming to the church that actually had a little clout. And they had a guy came in and said, I understand, preacher, that you have debt in this church. What is it? And he told him what it was. And the man says, I'll be right back. And went into the other room, got a checkbook, wrote him out a check and said, what was that amount again? And he told him the amount of the debt. And he wrote him the check and handed it and says, now, take that check and go pay off the debt to that church. He says, we're going to become members there and we're going to start doing what God wants us to do there. So what I'm saying, by trusting God with all of your heart, it doesn't matter what your church building looks like. It doesn't matter who goes to your church. It doesn't matter what they look like or what they smell like or where they come from. It does not matter. What matters is that we are trusting God with all of our heart, that we're loving the people that we have. Because I'll tell you what, in our churches today, we cannot afford to not love the people we have and push them out the doors. We've got to trust God to build up our churches. And God can take this church right here and God can make this a powerful, testifying church. God can make this church to be filled, but we have got to say, Lord, we trust you. We are dependent on you because you are God. Now, the next part of verse 6 says, he shall direct your paths. He is the one who knows the beginning all the way to the end. Now, are you going to trust somebody who knows everything from the beginning to the very end? Well, yeah. I was thinking back to quite a few years ago, I was a trail guide, a horseback trail guide. There's a place up in West Frankfort called Cowboy World. And it was a place for kids and their families to bring them. And they'd put on a Wild West show, you know, have the shootouts and the hold up and things like that. Just fun. And then people could go on trail rides for either a half an hour or for an hour. Now, on the trail ride, you went out into the woods. And I'm talking woods. There's a little... what they call a one-horse path, that's what these were. And I tell you what, there was snakes out there. There was coyotes out there. There was deer. There was every other kind of ugly creature crawling around the ground on top of that. And going through those woods, you knew where you needed to be going because you got people back there trusting on you or depending upon you. So, I won't forget the first time I took my first group out. At first, I was a little bit nervous, and I was trying to think of a reason that I couldn't take my first group out. But then I realized, I've trained for this. These people are dependent on me. They signed up and paid to ride with me today. I can't let them down. And here's what I realized. My horse knew where it was going, and I knew where I was going. And I told the people, I said, here's what I want you to do. Please keep your horse at a good 5 to 6 foot distance apart from each other. Don't let them nip each other in the behind or nothing like that, because they tend to do that. I said, please stay with me. Please do not go anywhere outside of this path, because you're going to get lost back in these areas. So see, the people depended upon me because I knew where we were going, and I felt so good. We did that 1 hour trail ride. We come back and whew, man, I was relieved. But we have a Heavenly Father who knows our life, and He knows exactly what path we're going to be on. We don't see the path ahead that God has laid out for us, but if we trust that one who created us and gave us the path that we're going to be trotting, then we should trust Him to guide us along the way. Where God takes us, God leads us and He guides us, and He's not going to take you out somewhere just to abandon you. I told you a few weeks back when the disciples got into the boat, and remember when Jesus said, come, let's go to the other side. But when they got halfway across the water and the storm rose and Jesus is asleep, and they're like, Lord, wake up. You know, there's a storm. We're about to perish here. What? How can you sleep? Don't you care about us? And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. Sometimes I wonder how many times the Lord has said that to me. Oh, you of little faith. If Jesus said, come, let's go to the other side, don't you think that means He's going to take you to the other side? Jesus doesn't break His promises. Sometimes our path is not easy. Sometimes the goals we have are never seen through. But this is why we have to trust the path that God's leading us. Because if He knows the way, then He's going to take care of every need. He is going to bless us. He is going to strengthen us. He is going to encourage us. We all have a thought, man, this is the way I want my life to go. Do you know some people really plan their lives out? And then, boy, when their life doesn't go like they want it to, they have a little five-year-old fit and stomp their feet and huff and fold their arms. I've seen it happen. Even within our churches today, pastors are guilty of this, and church members are guilty of this. Deacons are guilty of it. Other leaders in churches are guilty of it. Sometimes we get selfish, and we want our way. And that's not what the church is about. The church isn't about our way. Well, I was in a church one time, and they told me, hey, we're happy with the number of people we have. We don't want no more. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Then come to find out that this whole group, what they was, family. And you know what they had? They had that fist on that church. Boy, how wrong that is. How wrong that is. You and I don't have control of God's church. God has it. Well, I said, I'm sorry. I'm going to disappoint you. We're going to grow. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. There's the door. If you don't like what's going to happen here, there's the door. Because this is God's house. And you know who belongs here? People that are out there hurting, dying in their sins. People who need a relationship with Jesus. That's who belongs here. And that church started to grow. And you know what? Nobody left. We was baptizing. Things were going really good. And then all of a sudden, one person decided they was going to let the devil get a hold of their heart and their mind, and they wanted to upend everything that was going on. And they started doing their work. They started tilling bad soil. They started planting bad seeds. And guess what happened? Before long, people who loved me as their pastor didn't like me for preaching the truth. Because one person soured another, turned another, and it went on and on. Now, there's a few people who stood behind me, but for the majority, well, you know what? Yeah, we can kind of see what they're meaning. Maybe it's time for you to go. I said, okay, I'm gone. I've been praying about this, and I could tell the Lord was moving me on. I'd been there for about 3 years. So it's sad when we don't trust God, when we want to do our own thing. See, we can't take the church down the path ourselves. It's going to fall apart. It's not going to go anywhere. When Jesus sent His disciples out to make fishers of men, He didn't tell them to go do it their way. He didn't tell them to go make up their own plan, make up their own scheme, and then go out and make it happen. The Lord gave their commandment that we were to love one another, to serve one another, to fellowship with each other, to go make disciples of everybody. We need direction today. And if we had, I wish we had that banner up here. Our mission has never changed. God has given us a mission. And God's Word has never changed this entire time. God meant what He said, and it's our job to stick to His words and His commandments and live by them and uphold them. Now, I jumped ahead of myself. Oh well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe this is the Lord saying it's time to close this out. Last thing I want to touch on real quick, I can't understand why God allowed this to happen to me. Why did God allow this? Why did God bring me to this point? Why did God take my loved one? Why am I sick? Why? We could ask why all day long. Is that going to get us anywhere? Nope. If you're going to ride the boat, you got to get on it to ride it. You can't stand there and question, is it going to sink? Does the captain know where he's going? Am I going to be safe? You know, am I going to get sick? You can't have all these questions. But one thing we know, Jesus said, and I've preached this a lot, and I will always preach it, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I tell you what, them words right there, I'm okay with it. I've been through a lot. I have faced a lot of things. I've wanted to quit. Oh, I've wanted to lay down and just say, God, I'm done. But then when I look back to the cross and what Jesus did for me, Jesus didn't call 10,000 angels to come get Him off the cross. He went ahead and bled and died. He said, it is finished. That gives me the push every day to work for the Lord. Say, Lord, I know things are going to come up in my life. I know there's going to be situations. And yes, I mean, I go through things daily. But you know what I do? I don't try to reason things up here. What I do is I let it go from here, and Jesus, who's in my heart, I trust Him with it. And I say, Lord, I don't know the outcome right now, but You do, and I'm all right with that. Yesterday, one of the preachers said something that was so comforting to me, because I was sitting in that funeral going, you know, I can't be here at Justin's funeral. This can't be it. This ain't his. No, this is not him. And any moment he's going to walk out on that stage and say, hey, it's me. I was just kidding. That's kind of what my thinking was like. But I remember what Justin said. either way, it's okay. But this preacher got up there and said, there was three preachers spoke yesterday, and the last one said this. He said, when people get saved, he said, there's always a celebration in heaven when one sinner comes to repentance and gets saved. And he said, I want you to know this right now. He said, Justin Settle is getting to be in that group of saints that when somebody comes to repentance, when one sinner, he is getting to rejoice. See, if we keep our minds stayed upon God's Word, and if we let our hearts dwell in that, life is so much simpler. It really is. You and I don't have the answers. He does. All we have to do is trust Him. We can't get ahead of God, and we can't get way behind Him. We have to walk with Him. We have to trust Him, abide. That's why we have this Word. That's why we have prayer. Our mission's never changed. We are to be a witnessing church. Let's be a witnessing church. Don't use excuses why you can't witness or whatever. I could use all kinds of reasons why I don't want to go preach. I'm not going to do that. I got a calling on my life. I'm going to fulfill it till the day that the breath is taken from this body.